Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. I'd like us to just be encouraged and challenged from the closing of chapter 11 and the beginning of chapter 12 of Romans. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 are the heart of the Apostle Paul as he longs to see his own people, the Jews, come to know Jesus Christ. He speaks of the Gentiles as well, and how God has worked among the Gentiles, even so that the Jews might come to know the Lord. I encourage you to look at Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, this passage is one that you've heard, I'm sure, many times, most of us. If it's your first time hearing it, wonderful. It's a great passage to put to memory. I grew up hearing this often. This is my Romans 12, 1 and 2, are two verses that my dad claims as his favorite verses. And these verses, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, have proved to be an incredible calling upon the people of God, a description of how we are to approach our lives as God's servants. But it was only just a few years ago that I realized that these two verses come in the context of something much greater that is talked about in chapter 11. It is alluded to when you see and read verse 1 of chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the what? By the mercies of God. Do we know and understand what the mercies of God really are? Do we understand the extent to which we have received mercy? Grace and mercy are beautiful Christian terms that we do well to receive and understand. Mercy is God not giving to us what we truly deserve. Now, in order to really embrace this, we need to come to grips with who we really are, right? To understand to its fullness the mercies of God, we understand and realize what we do deserve. What is it that you deserve? Are you willing to actually say and come to the point of saying, you know what, I truly deserve crucifixion, separation from God. I deserve death. That is what I deserve. And you know what? The world is full of people who do not understand that. They have not come to grips with the reality that they have fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, the only way that you have come to know Christ today is because you have come face to face with the reality of what you do deserve. You deserve death. Why? Because you're sinful. I don't know everybody's hearts today, but is there a reluctance within you to admit this? A reluctance within you to acknowledge that the Bible is right when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Oh, not me. Not me. Well, then you're taking issue with the Word of God. And so you have to come to grips with what you believe. And listen, we're going to talk with people that aren't going to believe the same way. You believe by faith that this is the Word of God. If you believe it by faith, then you're going to take it and say, yes, I see it, and I can identify. I am a sinner. But listen, there's people in the world that don't believe this to be the Word of God. So don't be shocked and surprised when they look at you and say, I don't believe that. Now, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So the mercies of God provide an incredible platform upon which we are then enabled and expected to live for the Lord. Before we go into that, I want to just highlight what it says about mercy. So we read it, chapter 11. Verse 30, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. You Gentiles in times past, you not believed God, but now you have obtained mercy through their unbelief, through the Jews' unbelief. The Jews rejected God. And so, therefore, the message of salvation went to the Gentiles. You have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Have we realized this? That we have had the privilege of understanding God's truth, and we're sitting here today, and we have joy in our hearts and in our lives because of the very mercy of God. Because there came a point in time in history when the Jewish people, they rejected God. And so the thrust of the gospel went forth into the Gentiles. And so therefore, here we are today. That's God's mercy. Now look at this. Even so, verse 31, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. Our God is a God of mercy, and he has shown mercy unto us, that through that his mercy might be shown again unto his people. This is one of the thrusts behind the ministry to Jewish people. Simon Lysak, as he is our missionary of the month, and he's embracing, reaching out to the Jewish people. Listen, there are millions of people out there who are Jews, and they love Jehovah God, and they're doing whatever they can to keep the law, but they have been taught to reject Jesus Christ, to reject the New Testament, and so they are lost in their sin. But listen, God is showing them mercy as the Gentile church reaches out to the Jews. It's again about the mercy of God. It's not about you or me. Because who am I? Who are you, right? Who are we? This is because of the mercy of God. For this verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. We are saved because God has chosen to show us mercy. Not because you're a good person. Not because you do things right or you have the right answers. Because God has shown us mercy. And then, if you read Paul's writings, he sometimes launches into these moments of praise. And I trust you can praise right along with him as we read of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Depth, right? How deep is his storehouse of mercy and grace, of his wisdom and knowledge? How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out? Try to work through and explain how and why God has done all these things that he has done. You can't. For who is known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? You got anybody in mind? No. Who is first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Paul's excited about the Lord. He is just going through, just sharing his heart about his desire to see his own people come to know the Lord. And you know what? He has been left with incredible hope. He has been left with the mercy of God. And my God is so merciful that I believe he can save still today. I believe if you're here today that God wants you to know his mercy is extended to you today. Now, within that context, dear church, comes a sense of responsibility. I beseech you, I beg of you, therefore, brethren. Now, this brethren, I believe, encompasses us as God's children. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, because our God is merciful. What? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We wrestle with this, don't we? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. These words sometimes, they just don't mix in our minds, because a sacrifice is something that is given up. It's given over. And in the mind of, like with the Jewish people, they would bring their animals for sacrifice, and they wouldn't get that back. It was sacrificed. The blood was shed. Our God is merciful. The extension of that mercy is extended to us because of what Jesus Christ did for us, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. And so, therefore, as we as the brethren Paul beseeches us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So what that does, and when people would bring their sacrifices, it was a turning over of something that was theirs. It is now unto the Lord. It is now His. Recently in my devotions, I read that passage in 1 Samuel about King Saul and his, I believe it was with the Amalekites. And he was told to utterly destroy everything, including the children, including animals, everything. And he did all of that except for keeping the best of the rams and of the sheep. And his excuse was this: we're going to make sacrifices to the Lord. And it didn't hit me until this time of reading it, that one of the reasons why, not just because he disobeyed God, but also those would not have been sufficient sacrifices, because these were things that were not his. He wasn't giving up anything unto the Lord. This is a very personal verse because it's talking about your body. It's talking about your life. Not the one sitting next to you, which we so often like to say, why don't they do more? Right? Why don't they give up more? Why don't they sacrifice more? Boy, it's so easy to do that, isn't it? It is. If just be honest, it is. We want to deflect it off ourselves and deflect that responsibility. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, from that context, present your bodies a living sacrifice. So taking what is yours and giving it unto the Lord, it is for Him. This would be a daily process. Because we're not talking necessarily about an altar. And this is a regular process of our day. But as I believe why God wanted us to be confronted with this today is because we need this regular reminder of how we are to live. What is God's expectation for a Christian? To live, to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Now how? What does that look like? Look at the verse. Holy, acceptable unto God, that's pleasing unto God, it's your reasonable service. What has God done for you? Everything, right? What has God done for us? And so presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, what kind of sacrifice? Holy and pleasing unto the Lord, acceptable unto Him. There's so much that goes into that when we think about our lives, right? Is what I am doing right now holy and acceptable unto the Lord? Whew, right? You go through your day asking those kinds of questions. That can really challenge you. That really will make things black and white. Is this holy and acceptable unto the Lord? Because listen, who am I? I am somebody who has been shown mercy by the Almighty God. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't try to be like this world. I don't have to tell you, you know how the church in general in America, that's the popular way to do it. That's the way to go. Let's become more like the world so that the world is attracted. That is a lie from hell as far as a way to do ministry. We are not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed. Transformers. You go from the truck to the robot. the butterfly, that monarch. How many of you have ever done that? Watched it go through it from it's a chrysalis, right? Chrysalis all the way to the butterfly. That is amazing, isn't it? I mean, just to think that that beautiful butterfly comes from that caterpillar, or what's it? Is it called a caterpillar? Thank you for educating me. Caterpillar, and it goes in that chrysalis, and then out, it's just an amazing, beautiful transformation. Very similar wording here. Be transformed. A transformation has to take place. And that transformation takes place by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Here it comes again. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is this a description of your life, of my life? Are you living from the context of God has shown me mercy? When was the last time that you looked at your life and you said, is this holy and acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord? Is what I am doing something that is showing the will of God or the will of me? Because indeed, my life is to prove that which is good and perfect, the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So God wants to remind us of these things today. Let him work in your mind and heart today. Lord, you are alive and well. You are at work in us, among us. And we praise you for your mercy. I'm convinced I don't fully grasp the magnitude of it. But nevertheless, I hear your word. And I hear that's from that perspective, from that, the mercy, that's how you want me to live. Help us today. And heads bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't want to leave here today without asking this question. Are you here today? Have you come to grips with Jesus Christ and your sin and that Jesus is the Savior? Have you? Listen, this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life because it's a matter of eternal life or eternal death. And the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Why? Because listen, we don't know when your opportunity to make that decision is going to cease, when it stop. Because nobody knows when they will die. Nobody knows when the Lord will come. Have you made that decision? Have you chosen? Have you said, I know I'm a sinner. I hear the word of God. I hear it. And I know and I understand I'm a sinner too. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he has shown us his love. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Today you can say it to the Lord in your heart. You can pray unto him and just say, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe your word. I hear it. But today I want to place my trust in you, Lord Jesus, as my Savior. I believe that you are the only way that I can be saved and my sins forgiven. I believe that you died and rose again. And I say thank you, Lord. Oh, I pray that if today's the day that you have chosen to make that decision, I pray you'd tell somebody. Oh, I pray that you'd tell somebody so that they or we as a church can walk alongside of you and encourage and help you. Because there's no greater joy than what? To see that our children walk in the truth. We want to walk in the Lord's truth. So thank you, Lord, for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.